Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Courtney Flaherty. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, sponsored by Takeda, we had the pleasure of speaking with Elias Jabbour, MD, about the significance of the FDA approval of ponatinib plus reduced-intensity chemotherapy for patients with newly diagnosed Philadelphia chromosome-positive acute lymphoblastic leukemia. Dr. Jabbour is a professor of medicine in the Department of Leukemia in the Division of Cancer Medicine at the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston. On March 19, 2024, the FDA granted accelerated approval to ponatinib plus chemotherapy for the treatment of patients in this population based on data from the Phase 3 Falcon trial. Treatment with first-line ponatinib plus reduced-intensity chemotherapy produced a minimal residual disease-negative complete response rate of 30% at the end of induction in efficacy-evaluable patients. This rate was 12% in evaluable patients treated with imatinib plus chemotherapy. Moreover, 79% of evaluable patients in the ponatinib arm achieved complete responses at the end of induction therapy compared with 63% of patients in the imatinib arm. The addition of ponatinib to the ALL treatment arsenal marks the first FDA approval of a TKI and chemotherapy regimen for first-line use in this disease, as well as the first FDA authorization supported by the assessment of MRD following induction. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Jabbour expanded on the multiple milestones achieved through ponatinib's approval in Philadelphia chromosome-positive acute lymphoblastic leukemia, the agent's potency and unique mechanism of action, and key efficacy and safety data from the Falcon trial supporting this regulatory decision. Today, we're going to be talking about the approval of ponatinib in frontline PH plus ALL. So just to start off, what, in your opinion, is the significance of this approval?
It's the first time ever we have a frontline TKI approved in ALL. And this is a new clinic. And from now on, we have a new standard of care. And then for any new drug to be approved, it should be compared to standard of care. So we have ponatinib as standard of care in combination with chemotherapy for treatment of frontline PH-positive ALL.
Could you explain the mechanism of action of ponatinib? What makes this unique within the paradigm?
Ponatinib is a very potent BCR-ABL inhibitor compared to other TKIs. It's more potent, and it's characteristic that it can suppress the emergence or can overcome the problem of mutations. In particular, the gatekeeper mutation called T359 that drives the resistance to most of the TKIs. So ponatinib in that way can overcome this problem. And therefore, if it's more potent and can overcome this problem, it can deepen the responses and it can prevent resistance. And that was the hypothesis behind the randomized trial that was done.
Talking about that randomized trial, could you just talk about the design of the trial and any kind of methodology that's important to know?
Yes. Well, this is a randomized phase 3 trial for patients who are new diagnosed with Philadelphia positive ALL, which were randomized 2-to-1 to either low-dose chemotherapy and ponatinib or low-dose chemotherapy and imatinib, 2-to-ponatinib, 1-to-imatinib. The dose of ponatinib was 30 mg per day, not 45 mg, and was reduced to 15 once the CMR was obtained. While imatinib was 600 mg per day and de-escalated if side effects when encountered. The treatment will include an induction phase that takes up for 3 months, consolidation and maintenance, the single agent tyrosine kinase inhibitor. At any time you have a donor, you want to go for transplant, you can go for transplant. This is the design of the trial. But the originality is that the primary endpoint was unique and it's the first time ever considered, which is MRD negative CR at end of induction at 12 weeks. It means you have to have a CR for 4 weeks and to be MRD negative by RT-PCR for BCR-ABL. This was based on data showing that patients who achieve an MRD negativity can have a better outcome, survival, and others. Therefore, the FDA agreed to consider MRD negativity CR as a primary endpoint for drug approval. And in this study, the rate of MRD negativity CR was the double with ponatinib compared to imatinib, and that led to the approval of the drug. That being said, this peer efficacy was obtained without additional toxicities. There was no different side effect between ponatinib and imatinib. There was no difference in the discontinuation between the two arms, and therefore, we improve efficacy without taking a risk at all. Well, the primary endpoint was MRD negative CR that was met, and that granted approval for the drug. No, the key secondary endpoint is event-free survival and survival. These are still not mature enough to report on them. I like to highlight one thing, that molecular relapse or persistence of molecular disease was not considered an event. As such, a patient, if they are MRD positive later on imatinib arm, can go on to receive blinatumomab or ponatinib. So it's a crossover design by nature. The one thing considered an event. And despite this crossover design, we know more patients on imatinib did go on to receive subsequent therapy without being censored. The EFS was trending in favor of ponatinib, where the median has not been reached for ponatinib, but it was for imatinib. Of course, one should wait for longer follow-up to see how the difference will further mature, and that will lead to hopefully the final approval of the drug.
Based on all of this information about the drug's efficacy and safety, are there any patients in whom you would hesitate to use this agent because of specific toxicities?
Well, the data and the toxicity profile is quite favorable. One of the safety concerns with ponatinib was a vascular event, vaso-occlusive event, and here we don't see an exacerbation of this rate compared to imatinib therapy. And this has to do two things. One is the dose adjustment of ponatinib. We never use 45, we use 30 milligrams reduced to 15, which is quite acceptable and good. And the second, of course, we selected some patients where they shouldn't have vascular issues right away, acute vascular problems at the beginning. So I think I will today in my practice, somebody with an acute vascular problem such as an MI or stroke, definitely I'll be cautious and not choose ponatinib. Otherwise, the drug has been shown to be safe and ponatinib should be considered standard of care for all comers otherwise.
Are you or your colleagues involved in any other research in ALL that you want to take this opportunity to highlight?
Thank you so much. I'm leading ALL section in Janssen with my colleagues here, and we have a very cutting-edge trials. So ponatinib approved today is the beginning of a new era of research that evolved the drug. We're leading what we call the chemotherapy approach with Oblina and ponatinib, and the results are so far with more than 60 patients treated, 9% survival 3 years, which is amazing. We're expanding on this. We're still using low-dose chemotherapy and ponatinib and Oblina for those at high risk. Beside that, for frontline patients who are younger, we're using immunotherapy up front with the Oblina and tislelizumab and hypercifat, and our 3-year survival is in 90% range, which is quite good. And for older ALL patients, we're using inoblinatumab or chemotherapy-free or mini-CVD inoblina, low-intensity chemotherapy plus inoblina, and the survival at 5 years is 50%, contrasting with only 10% in old age. So major progress in ALL. I hope that my colleagues will listen to me today will refer us patients, because that's how we can establish new standard of care that can benefit everybody.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of Enclave On Air, sponsored by Takeda. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.enclave.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. Enclave is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at Enclave. On Facebook, like us at Enclave and follow our Enclave page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of Enclave On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to Enclave On Air.